Okay, good morning, everybody. Today we're going to be having some more radio theaters. You're listening to KDRT 95.7 FM at Davis, kdrt.org. Just like last week, we're going to have some students doing some radio theater productions in a little bit. But until then, we're going to be talking a little bit about our own experiences with ours last week. We're Saz. We did a radio theater production last week. And yeah. Would either of you like to start? I'm Aiden. I'm here with Siwen and Cheng. Yes, you can
celebrate anything you want. Hi, everyone. It's Cheng.
Okay, guys. So we did our radio theater last week. It was the Rabid Radio Relay, the radio host who was not having the best evening. How do you guys think that went? I think it went pretty well, personally. Okay, what about you? How do you think about it?
I think it's interesting, and we were just like making some noise in there.
Yeah. Okay, it sounds like the first radio theater group is ready to go, so we'll be switching over to them in just a moment.
Good morning, Davis! This morning, I am joined by Radio Rebel. They are going to be performing their radio play, The Sighting. So, whenever you're ready.
Oh, not this time, you damn squatch. They'll believe me. They'll have to believe me.
Beep. 911, what's your emergency?
Please, you have to help me. There's a...
Sir, you have to calm down. Please tell me what seems to be the problem.
You have to believe me. Bigfoot, he's so close, he may as well be in my backyard. I heard him. He was growling and everything.
Growling? Sir, where are you calling from?
My cabin. Listen, the point is, the big guy's here and I need backup. That roar didn't sound like he was playing around. You wouldn't believe it. It didn't sound like anything I'd ever heard before. Just a crazy sounding.
Sir, I can't send you help if you don't tell me where you live.
Growl, like it was angry or something. And then it got me thinking, did I piss this big guy off? I set traps and stuff, but, well, you know, how loud that growl was, I don't think they would have done damage.
Sir!
Well, considering how janky they are, honestly, all the traps I made are. I learned it from movies, you know, like Kevin from that movie Home Alone.
Sir! The sooner you tell me where you live, the sooner I can send people. Please, just tell me where you are.
Oh, right. My bad. You know, people did always tell me I was a bit of a motor mouth. It's 2423 Redwood Lane, the little house down the path. Send someone over, and with backup if you can.
Thank you. Help is on the way. Stay where we are.
Good evening. Did you call about the noise complaint?
Yeah, I saw it. Big old fella. Furry and such. Biggest thing I ever saw.
So a bear? Are you new around here? There's bears around here all the time.
Are bears bipedal? Do bears sound manlike? This is no Winnie the Pooh we're dealing with.
Come on now, we're a progressive town here. They could just be furries. They're always out in these woods. Smoking, drinking, taking dumps, you name it. I've seen a furry do it, especially out here.
Well, it surely was furry-like. But I think we may be getting off topic.
In my professional opinion, you shouldn't have to worry about it. Who knows? Maybe the Bigfoot you saw was really just in a fursuit.
Fursuit? This isn't Halloween. Now you're going to sit there and tell me I didn't see a silverback foot in these parts of the woods, or are you going to help me catch this thing?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be just for Halloween. Some furries wear their suits year-round. I've seen some of them walking around downtown in the peak of summer. God knows how they survive with all the heat trapped in there.
That would explain the foot I saw in aisle 9 of Save Mart on Tuesday. So do them furries, as you say, do they stand about 9 feet tall and sound like your ma when you ate the rest of the weekly meatloaf leftovers?
Well, I wouldn't say they go for 9 feet tall, but when they really get into it, they can make some funny noises. Some even echo. Heard a groan from all the way across town one time. Sound like it came from right outside the station.
Huh. Just like ma. But I assure you, this was no man-made suit. And them fur you'd see on a wolf's back up north. Now here, I have a track of the fresh one in my backyard. Feast your eyes.
Not that I ever seen one up close, but that sure looks something like a fursuit footprint to me.
Ma'am, I by no means want to tarnish your line of thought, but you cannot tell me this is of man, unless it was Shaquille O'Neal in deep Wyoming, wearing a fursuit and stomping around my backyard. I don't see how this could be a man.
I mean, some people just have big feet. That don't make them supernatural freaks or anything. Don't be so hasty, too. Wait, do you hear that?
There, in the brush!
Where?
Hold on, let me grab my shotgun.
Now hold your horses. What if it's a human exploring their persona? Not all of them have to be wolves or whatever. What if they're just trying out something?
We gonna find out. I ain't taking no risk with these so-called furries or Bigfoot. Nonetheless, they're on my property. Hold the fort. I'm going in.
Sir, I won't let you commit manslaughter on my watch.
Watch me. I need a new wall piece.
Sir, I cannot overstate this. I'm willing to bet actual money that you're bringing back someone's $4,000 extremely heavy and especially fake Bigfoot headpiece. You do not need that musty thing in your house.
Well, then I could sell it on eBay. Been meaning to get some new kitchenware for my sirloin excursions. I've been thinking about doing, you know, a steak sampler flat. You're welcome to come around when I get it. You like venison stew? Ma taught me her secret recipe before she died from that book last winter. Uttered to me the ingredients right as she took her final breaths. I felt bad. Her breath was getting more labored after she mentioned the carrots. But I needed the recipe, so I wasn't going to stop her. She was wheezing by the end of it. Didn't really catch that last part of the recipe, but I'll figure it out. She's buried out back right now. If you want to go and say hi. Sorry, where were we? Oh yeah, that sucker's still trotting around my land.
Right. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your ma, but anyway, I should really head back to the station soon. While I'm sure it was for real, just a furry practicing their growls, if it brings you peace of mind, I can spare about 5 more minutes to go walk around and make sure the coast is clear.
Now that's tax dollars well spent.
Yeah, so what do you want me to do? I feel like I need to chaperone you so you don't get 30 to life. What about that shotgun you're toting around?
What? I was just loading my double barrel. Oh, this here sawed off. It's the last thing that furry beast will ever see. And anyway, if a bullet were to be fired, it will have been in self-defense. You vouch for me, right?
I will go on record to say that I will not, in fact, vouch for you for killing an innocent furry.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I knew you would. You're here to protect and serve, after all.
What? Did you even hear anything I said? You know what? I don't get paid enough to deal with this. Let's just go do a little lap around your house, if that'll help you sleep at night.
Yes, ma'am, it will.
So, before I go, what was your name again? I'm going to still have to do some paperwork for this useless visit. Thanks for that, by the way.
Robert Bobbington III, the one and only.
Bob Bobbington? Wait, like owners of Bobbington Incorporation? Is that your family? Do you live here with anyone? I thought your house would be bigger.
Yep, hasn't been our company since Pa died from that buck last winter. Bless his soul. He's buried next to my bag, actually. If you want to take a gander, it's right over there. Also, yep, it's just me, myself, and I. And venison stew, of course. Plus the horde of Bigfoot people scrounging around my neck of the woods.
Bob Bobbington? Where have I heard that before?
Beep!
Hey, do we have any information on a Robert Bobbington?
Give me one second. Robert Bobbington, born 24th of July, 1975, 5'11". Wait, it says here he's wanted for the deaths of 20 people. All seem to have a special interest in dressing as animals. That's so weird. Where'd you get info on this guy anyway?
Oh my. Put your hands behind your back.
What's wrong with a couple of foots a couple of feet deep? All they'll do is cause harm in our town.
Robert Bobbington III, you're under arrest for the murder of 20 innocent fellow furry citizens. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you can say and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, you will be appointed one.
You have the right to put your gun down on the ground right there. Nice and slowly. Now turn around.
Robert, I won't repeat myself. Put the gun down now or I will shoot.
And you think I won't? All right.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful work, everyone. I have quite a few questions about this piece.
Sure, what's up?
First of all, hilarious. Second of all, for our listeners who don't know, can you explain what a furry is?
I think that's all you, Mads.
Oh, excuse me.
I think that's all you, Mads.
I take personal offense to that. I just find furries very funny. There are people who, like, identify as animals, and they, like, spend thousands of dollars and take loans to, like, dress up as those animals. I find them fascinating because I don't know how I would call myself a wolf. You know what I mean? Like, there's just people out there who are like, yeah, I'm actually a wolf or a fox. And I'm like, okay, you do you, but I just don't understand them. And I find them fascinating.
I agree with the whole you do you sentiment. I thought that was a really silly play on Bigfoot, because we hear so many Bigfoot stories. Do either of you want to share one of your favorite Bigfoot stories?
As a kid, I just liked watching, you know, the reality TV shows of, like, people in the South who swear they saw Bigfoot and, like, dead to rights will just, like, tell a story about how they saw it 30 feet away from their land. And we kind of just branched off that, you know? Like, Finding Bigfoot is one of the funniest shows because, again, although it may be scripted for the people producing the shows, bro, these people, they really believe they saw Bigfoot. So we wanted to, you know, see if we can emulate that.
Okay, then here comes the million-dollar question. I'm going to need every single one of you to answer. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
I would like to. I'd like to think that there's a big furry guy just stomping around and that he's managed to evade all modern cameras. But I don't know. What about you guys?
I mean, if you look at the video evidence, it's kind of clear that he does exist, you know? If you see those, you know, zoomed in videos about 50 yards out of a little blur, you know, crossing some trees and stuff. I mean, it's just clear. Like, how can we deny that Bigfoot doesn't exist?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about myself, but I want to believe that Bigfoot exists, or else it's just really funny that people are making fake videos of Bigfoot sightings. It's like reminds me of like the Loch Ness Monster thing. But yeah, maybe Bigfoot does exist. Who knows?
I mean, like, you guys gonna tell me Nessie doesn't exist either? Like, aliens don't exist? I mean, the Earth is flat, all right? Like, let's get this straight, right? Okay, yeah.
And now you want to tell me the Mothman doesn't exist either? Like, come on, let's be real here. The Mothman does exist, and he is the inspiration for Batman. He does fly around and land on people's roofs. Yep. And I consider him to be a hero.
All right. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Thank you, Radio Rebel. We are preparing for our next radio play at the moment. And we are going to send it back to the station for the moment.
Cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be, let it be, let it be, yeah. side. Oh yeah.
Hey guys, we're back. Hope you guys were enjoying some Beatles while we transitioned between radio theater groups. But it's just about time for the next group to come up. But before that, what do you guys think of the last radio theater? We had some Bigfoot shenanigans going on.
Yeah, I just think the story is real, and the audio they made, the sound effects they made, is just perfect for their story.
Yeah, that was a really interesting
topic. Oh, could you get closer?
And I think the Foley sound they make, and especially the gunshot, was really real.
It's not working. Yeah, I totally agree. I think their Foley sound was really good, especially the gunshots at the end, which we'll be asking them about and how they did it. Later on, once after both teams have finished their shows, so we'll get the scoop on how they managed to pull that off. But yeah, I think it was really good, and it's time for the next radio show. Hope you all enjoy.
Welcome back to the TV station. What a treat it is to be here today with Wildcard performing their radio play, "The Adventures of Jedediah Smith."
Introducing The Adventures of Jedediah Smith, starring Alex Gallegos as Jedediah Smith and Marty Payne as Smokey. The Wild West's greatest outlaw, Jedediah Smith, is on the run from Smokey the Bounty Hunter. Will Jedediah make it far enough west to escape Smokey? Only time will tell. Our story begins in the small town of Whiskey Springs, where Smokey has just arrived.
Whiskey Springs, huh? What a nice little town for an outlaw to take refuge in. At any rate, this better be the last time I cross the Mississippi for a bounty. It's been a real long journey. I'm awfully parched. I'd kill for a steak right about now.
Well, you don't look like you're from around these parts. What can I get for you on this fine afternoon?
Yeah, well, you guessed right. I ain't from around these parts out here in the West. I'm just looking for some grub before I go catch me a bounty. How about a steak?
Boo. Well, we don't have a steak, but we do got a fresh cayo. Some feather riding down by river just happened to run poor feather over. I wouldn't pay $2 for me him and hope, but I give them to you for $1.5. How that sound? You get liver and all.
That sure is a mighty fine deal there, chef, but I ain't eating no coyote. I don't exactly deal with the roadkill felines, if you know what I mean. You get all sorts of surprises that way. How about a piece of that lovely cornbread there?
Oh yeah, I do understand your concern with the coyote, but I do oblige, it's good meat. I sure can offer you a piece of Miss Carol cornbread. She just begged you up this morning, in fact. How about something to drink?
Well, yes, sir. I'll have a cup of coffee.
I'm afraid we only got whiskey. See you enter Whiskey Springs. It's in name. Folks out here drink two things, whiskey and more whiskey.
In that case, I'll be taking that cornbread and be on my way. You said Miss Carol baked it this morning. Got any idea if she's got a clue as to where I can find this Jedediah Smith?
Oh yeah, Miss Carol will surely help you find the bounty of yours. She knows everyone and anyone who roams this town. She serves to drink down and saloon. You can miss her.
All right, I'll be on my way now. Thank you, chef, for this fine cornbread.
On his way over to see Miss Carol, Smokey encounters a man by the name of Clayton, who takes a quaint interest in Smokey and his business here in the town of Whiskey Springs.
Excuse me, sir. Have you seen this man?
No, I'm not familiar with this gentleman. However, can I insist on your lovely tater suit and faded coffee?
Now, Clayton, why would I myself need a fitted suit and coffin?
Well, feathers like yourself come looking for outlaws here in West, and don't you even make it out alive. I'm simply offering insurance on your life. If it happens, you miss a shoot.
Excuse me? I never miss, and I don't mess around. Sir, have you seen this man before?
Aiden? No, I haven't. But come on in. I just got a new shipment of rattlesnake venom. It's a surefire way to make your bullets kill someone if you don't land a fatal shot, or use it to poison someone's drink.
Thanks for the offer, but I'm looking for something else. I reckon I'll keep moving.
Oh, I almost forgot. I got a shipment of the latest and greatest Colt revolvers. They offer more rounds than a bigger caliber, holding 8 bullets instead of the standard 6.
I usually don't buy new guns. However, given my line of work, I could use the extra rounds. Money's a little tight right now, but once I get this bounty, I'll gladly pay my dues. Come looking for me in the saloon at dusk. I should have your money by then.
Pleasure doing business with you, Mr. Smokey. As a courtesy of your purchase, I'll give it you locked and loaded.
I appreciate your generosity. I'm looking for a feller that goes by the name of Jedediah Smith. I reckon he made it this far west to Whiskey Springs. Have you seen this man?
$1,000, dead or alive. Oh, I do reckon I've seen a feller stampeding through town. In fact, I think he might just find himself a couple drinks over in the Wheelbarrow Saloon. And who exactly might you be? A deputy?
No, ma'am. My name is Smokey. I come from east of the Mississippi, where we don't take too kindly to outlaws. I've been tracking him down for many moons, and I intend to settle this matter soon. I better be on my way. I appreciate your kindness, Miss...
Carol. It's Carol.
Well, thank you, Miss Carol. And you make some mighty fine cornbread. I'll be seeing you around.
Well, you know, got a double aces this time.
Full house. I got a full house.
Aw, man. Take
the Wheelbarrow Saloon, huh?
Thank you. Ever's is my cabin.
Now, which one of you is Jedediah Smith?
Who's asking?
Me, that's who's asking.
Well, mister, I ain't got the darnest clue who you is. And ain't nobody gonna approach me in this fine establishment.
Well, I myself don't think that's gonna happen. I'm here to collect you, dead or alive. And I ain't leaving until you're dragged behind back of my steed.
Well, how much they put on my head this time? Because I ain't going dead or alive. You know why they call me Jedediah the Hawksmith? Because I don't miss a darn thing with these pistolas. Now, you can leave this fine establishment, or we can have ourselves an early grave out in the courtyard.
I think you're mistaken, Mr. Jedediah. You see, I am myself a sharpshooter, and it would bring me great pleasure to draw upon my Colt.
I guess we're just going to have to find out then.
I'll meet you outside at dusk then. I didn't think you'd show.
Are you calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther. Now let's get down to business.
You two idiots couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
Let's try this again.
You shot my damn horse. You two will pay for this.
Aubrey! Forget this. Let's grab a drink.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. What's the worst that could happen? She's spitting our drinks? Two whiskeys, please, Miss Carol.
Coming right up.
Don't worry, Smokey. I'll cover your drinks. Maybe then you'll actually hit your shots.
Hey, Smokey. I've got that pistol you ordered.
Great. Hey, Jed, check this. Oh, snap. Why would you hand me a loaded gun?
Locked and loaded means locked and loaded, brother. Well, hey now, you can pay me for a new Colt.
Well, about that drink. How about that drink, Miss Carol?
Oh, sure, Mr. Smokey. I hope you enjoy your drink. I made sure to give you a double shot on the house.
I appreciate it, and I'm really sorry about your horse. I do wish I could repay you. Oh, what did you do to this?
That's for my horse, you son of a bitch. I'll be taking that bounty for myself, you hear me?
In a surprising twist of fate, Miss Carol emerges victorious, avenging her dead horse and collecting the bounties on the notorious Jedediah Smith. Justice is served and order is restored, though rest assured no horses were harmed in the telling of this tale.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful work from Wild Card. We're going to follow that up with a few questions.
Oh no.
First of all, I want to start with Alex. If I obviously our listeners cannot see, but Alex was the one on the trumpet. When did you start playing the trumpet and what prompted you to bring it in today?
So I've been playing the trumpet for I think 11 years at this point. And what prompted me? Well, we were doing a Wild West, and of course you can't have Wild West without, you know, some classic trumpet playing. So I had to bring in my trumpet, and I hope it sounded all right and it wasn't too loud for our viewers. But yeah, hopefully it was fun for everyone involved.
Well, the rest of the cast is standing over there, so I'm going to ask you to come over here so we can chat a little. Don't be shy. Marty, tell us a little bit about your role. What was the inspiration for this character?
I don't know. Alex and I were just shooting the stuff, as they say. I don't know. We were just throwing stuff out there, and we just landed on this like kind of dumb Wild West story. We're just trying to make it as fun as we can. I'm happy we got to put the trumpet in there. I had no idea he could play trumpet, so that was pretty cool. That was very fitting for our story.
Madeline, do you want to come in and talk a little bit about this heroine figure that we have? I want to hear about her.
Well, I don't know much. You might have to ask the boys, but if she didn't start out this character, for sure. We just needed a little bit of complexity, I think, to our story. We had a solid foundation, but they were trying to link it all together.
Okay, awesome. Do we want to talk a little bit about Foley?
For the Foley sound, I don't know how to say this, but
did you have fun doing it?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, of course it's fine.
Chaotic.
Well. Well, good stuff from Wild Card. Their Foley was very complex. They used balloons to mimic gunshots. Hope that didn't scare any of our listeners. We are going to send it back to the studio now so that our cast and crew can discuss a little more.
Okay, guys, so first up, I hope you all enjoyed that show. I think it was very entertaining, and we're going to interview some people from that first. But first off, we have some people from the first show. Would you like to introduce yourselves and tell us what the name of your show was?
Hi, I'm Zach.
I'm Marianne.
And we were part of The Sighting.
Oh, The Sighting. Okay, that makes sense. Bigfoot, being like, oh, I saw Bigfoot. Yeah, that. Okay. Well, I think you might have talked about this a little bit already, but kind of how did that, like, where did that idea come from? Like, Bigfoot, I understand, but, yeah. Like, how did you get to furries?
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we had a general idea of, like, we wanted to do something supernatural. Like, we were going to go with aliens at first, and then it just transitioned to Bigfoot for what I was saying earlier. And then as we just started writing it, we were thinking, like, what if the cop had, like, an obsession with furries and, like, was trying to kind of connect the whole Bigfoot situation to it just being, you know, regular furries that they find in their town.
Yeah, I did notice the cop at one point said a fellow fur or something along the lines of fellow furries, and I went, I had a moment.
the furry situation, and so that's why they kind of defend the furries to the guy Robert Bovington. So, but it was I think Mads who played the dispatcher. She gave us like the idea of the furries.
Sorry about that. Could you continue what you're saying? Sorry, a little bit of technical difficulties, folks.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so we just, like, figured out that we would go with that furry, that path. But, yeah, it turned out really good at the end, and it kind of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I noticed that. It was kind of like, where is this going to go?
Yeah, like, who died? Was it the police officer? Was it Bob?
Yeah.
Leave it up to the audience, I guess.
The open-ended interpretation.
Yeah. I have one question. How do you guys make the gunshot? It was so real.
The gunshot sounded really good.
So for, like, the loading of, like, the pistol, I had, like, a 3D printed gun, and we just used it. It literally, like, you can... I don't know what it's called, but you
cock
can...
it.
Yeah, okay, you can cock it. And so, yeah, it made that sound. And then for, like, the last gunshot, we just used Zach's croc.
Wait, really? That was... you just hit a croc against the table?
That was... Wait a second. We were talking about it yesterday, and we were like, what can be the, like, big sound of a gunshot at the end? And we were all like... Well, Mads was like, we should get a flip-flop and just slam it against something super loud because that'll be a good gunshot. And I was like, well, I have a croc. So we just went with that, and it ended up sounding great.
No, in here it sounded genuinely so good. Like, I didn't know what you guys used for. I actually had no idea. That's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aside from that, I mean, yeah, just have you guys, like, practiced this a lot? Like, you guys did really good. Like, how was it preparing for this?
Definitely not. We practiced a couple times before, but I basically just, like, told myself at least, like, I was either going to do 0% or 100%, and I feel like everybody did so good around me. It kind of helped me get the confidence I needed to keep going.
No, I totally feel that. That's kind of how it was for us last week, too. Like, we didn't really have a whole lot of time to prepare either. But, yeah. I don't... do you, Chang or Siwen, do you guys have any other questions for them about their awesome show?
No, I think overall it's really great. I think we can welcome the next interviewer.
Okay, next up we have someone from our second show, the Wild Western... would you like to, I would say, what was the name of your guys' show again, guys?
Hey, guys, this is Alex. But yeah, our show was called The Adventure. Is this one out? It was called The Adventures of Jedediah Smith. That was my character.
Jedediah the Hawktua Smith.
Yeah, exactly.
In that moment, that's all I could think of when you said the Hawk Smith.
I know, we were contemplating doing that, but.
The greatest podcast ever.
Yeah.
It was fun.
But yeah,
it was a little chaotic. We didn't get all the sounds in we wanted, but it's whatever.
No, it sounded really good. The boots sounded good. The spurs.
Yeah, shout out Mads for letting us use her keys because she had a carabiner attached to it, so we could just link it onto the boots.
No, it sounded really good. The trumpet, I think, really was the pinnacle of this, though. That was
the icing
so
on the cake, right
good.
There. I know. I'm curious to see how that sounded. Hopefully, it didn't burst your eardrums.
No. It was surprisingly pretty even sounding. Right. Yeah.
Good,
no, it was good.
Good job. Good job, Shane.
It sounded good. The sound effects with it were good too. No, it sounded great.
Yeah, I'm glad that made a good impression on the overall radio theater production.
Yeah, I have a small question. I was really curious about how you made the horse voice.
Yeah, the horse sound. Yeah, that's like a fun trick that trumpet players just like to have. So basically, it requires you to like go really high and then like fall back down, and you have to use the valves on the trumpet. You have to go half valve so that like not a complete sound comes through, and then you just shake at the end to get that like, yeah, horse whinny, yeah.
Yeah, reverb or something like that. No, that sounded really good. So I think when you guys were talking right afterwards, you guys said you used balloons for the gunshots, which sounded pretty good, honestly. Like, it was pretty effective.
Was it a good shock factor?
Yeah, apparently the other group used hitting a croc against the table, which I think both very different approaches, but both produced a pretty, like, good gunshot sound effect. Yeah, I like how there's that moment of kind of, like, silence afterwards. You're not really sure what happened, and then it's like, oh, they missed, and then they shoot the horse instead. And it's just like, yeah, I know. I think that worked pretty well. Like, how'd you guys come up with the standoff, or like what you guys? Obviously, you know, Western standoff is pretty common, but like, what made you think to do like a twist on it, kind of thing?
I think we just thought it'd be funny if both of our, because we like present our characters as like outlaws and bounty hunters. Like, they should be good at, you know, sharpshooters. Yeah, they should be good at, you know,
that one
shooting
thing they do.
Yeah, yeah, the one thing they claim to be good at.
And so, yeah, we just thought it'd be hilarious if they just both missed. And then we added the horse getting shot towards the end, because we thought that would be funny as well, and also just include my trumpet a little bit more.
And then it gives way for the plot twist of,
exactly,
of Carol being like, you know what, I'm taking matters into my own hands.
I know, evil Carol. Who knew?
I don't know. It sounds like justice to me.
That was an excellent voice that Madeline did.
No, the voices,
Carol.
All of your voices.
Smoking for 27 years straight, and she's 26 years old.
No, all the voices were actually so good. They sounded super authentic. We were really impressed.
Yeah, it was like, I was like conflicted on what type of voice I should do, but ultimately I just landed on, I guess, whatever that was. I can't even recall how I did it, but.
It was,
I hope,
meant
it
to be.
Sounded fun, at least, yeah. I think Smokey over here did a pretty good voice, though.
Yeah, I took a little inspiration from Aldo the Apache from Inglourious Basterds, and then I kind of tried to make him a little bit more, like, you know, from down south.
Yeah, no, it sounded really good. Let's see. I don't know. I think, what do you think was the hardest Foley sound to, like, figure out or, like, make?
Probably the ricocheting bullet sound,
yeah,
which we didn't really get. We didn't really get the ricocheting bullet sound, but it is what it is. We still have the gunshots, so it's implied.
Yeah, that I think that's good that you got the big part. People know kind of what's happening, yeah, or can tell.
We also used a belt for like the crack of the gunshots or whatever.
Yeah,
so
I
had a
couple
different.
Okay, that's what that was. No, you yeah, that makes sense. That I feel like that would be probably the hardest thing to pull off, because obviously. You can't bring a gun, though. The first
you probably
group,
shouldn't bring
the
a gun.
The first,
yeah,
group did bring a 3D printed plastic gun.
Oh, we did use it.
But for
we did use the 3D printed gun at one point.
Oh, you cocked it?
Yeah,
you used their gun
cocked
too?
It at one
locked
point.
And loaded.
Yeah, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, that was a
some
really
collaboration.
Nice that the other group had that, and they let us use that. So that was nice of them.
That actually came in real clutch.
Okay, we might interview some more folks, but for now, that's all we have for you guys. Thanks a lot for coming on, and yeah, you guys put on a great show.
Thank you very much.
Thank
it's
you.
The last radio show. We're excited.
Yep.
It was really fun.
Back to some Beatles, y'all. We might be back in a little bit.
Strike the playing it, everyone sang it, flowing more freely than I. Georgie Wonderful. And now we'd like to do Are the Angels Come?
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Okay, y'all, we're back, this time not with some people from the theater show, but instead some people that were in the studio working the cameras and the mics. How was that, guys?
It was pretty good. Yeah, I was on the switchboard, so I was switching between different camera angles.
I was on sound and lights, although I didn't have to do too much with the lights.
Yeah, as they are radio shows, I can't imagine you have to do a whole lot. But I know we are recording them, so yeah, the camera angles was probably pretty important. We could watch it in here, too, when they switched camera angles. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. It was kind of tricky to get the hang of it. And it was also hard not knowing where the scripts were going and like who was going to be talking next. So you kind of just had to anticipate that. But it was pretty fun. I liked it.
Yeah, I had to react in real time. I bet that was a little bit challenging.
Especially for like unexpected noises like balloon pops and some unexpected sounds such as like when they were using a prop in order to make phone call noises. They were using a soda can. So there were certain like soda can crinkles that were I couldn't like predict.
Yeah, no, I get that. I kind of had the same thing in here working the board. Whenever like I kind of have to be like, oh, loud sound, like have to like adjust it up and down so we aren't blowing out the ears of our listeners. But what do you think? I guess we are kind of how is it to be in the room, like, or how do I put this? What was the, like, best part of being in that room? Because I know you guys kind of had to, like, obviously it was challenging, but, like, what was it enjoyable? Like, what do you guys think?
Yeah, it was definitely enjoyable. I enjoyed kind of, like, being able to tell the cameras which shots we wanted and, like, you know, getting able to, like, I guess design the show was a lot of fun. And I think everybody in the room, too, was, like, had a say in that. So it was kind of fun to just work with everyone.
I really enjoyed being able to work on new equipment and gaining like hands-on experience with sound and things like that. So that was really cool.
Nice. What do you, back to the show, since you guys were like front row seats to both, what do you think was your favorite parts of each show?
I mean, I liked the second show, and Madeline, I liked her the way she did it with her voice was cool. I think Marty played a great character too. And then the first one, that was just a really good storyline. They had a lot going on, so it was kind of fun to watch.
I really liked the first show, and specifically, like, it was so funny that they were brought up furries. Like, that was just unexpected for me.
Right? I was like, when we were sitting in here, like, this script is, like, crazy. Like, this is not the way I was expecting it to go.
Yeah, this is so interesting. We work in different parts for our show because it's the first time I realized that we have to do a lot of background work for a show to be successful.
Yeah, I think definitely everybody in the class had something to do, which was kind of cool to see how many different moving parts there were in terms of, like, there's only 4 or 5 people on the microphone, but there's so many people doing other things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you get to see what we can improve on as well. Like, with the, there was cameras on set, so a lot, and things weren't white balanced. So some people had like shiny foreheads or were kind of like washed out.
Yeah, definitely. Did you guys meet any challenge while you were doing your work? Because when we are control our voice, the first, it didn't come out because the computer have some problem.
I mean, I think maybe just like with different camera angles and like, it was kind of hard to anticipate, like, where the Foley person was going to be in terms of, you know, were they going to be blocking a shot or would it be something that we're looking for? So it was just kind of hard, again, to anticipate people. But it really wasn't that much of a challenge. And I think it was good that we had 4 cameras. So there was always something to put on the screen, even if something else was messed up.
Yeah, definitely.
The lack of being able to communicate between rooms without having to, like, without being, like, without headphones or something like that. Having to send a third party was a little bit frustrating, but it was whatever. It was okay.
Yeah, I agree, because, yeah, there was moments where, like, yeah, someone's running back between us, and we'd have to be like, okay, like, you know, they're about ready, and it's like, okay, but then obviously we can't get the timing exactly right, because then someone has to go back and forth. So, yeah, I totally can see that. There, we probably had a couple moments of silence here and there, just because, yeah, we didn't have that system set up. But for the most part, I think it worked out pretty well. And, yeah, I think overall the production, like, obviously the shows were great. Their Foley sounds were great. Like, they did a good job. I think the production side of things, especially, like, compared to last week where we were a little bit more new at it, I think even though it was different people in different positions, I think we were a little bit more established and kind of knew what was going on today. And I think that that shows, and I think it went really well. Yeah, I think I don't have any more questions for you guys. Sounds like your end of the production went pretty well. Yeah, camera angles were good. Sound was good on our end. So I assume you guys were doing a good job in there too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, went good. I think, yeah, thanks for coming on and talking to us for a little bit, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Everybody had a hard year. Everybody had a good time. Everybody had a wet dream. Everybody saw the sunshine. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Everybody had a good year. Everybody let the hair down. Everybody pulled the socks up. Everybody put the pool down. Oh yeah. Twice.
to the station. Rev and say, you got the wrong road. Come on, baby, don't be cold as ice. Said he's driving on the one after 9-0. She said he's driving on the one after 9-0. Said he's driving on the one after 9-0.